You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Well, hello. The handouts have been sent out. I hope you have a copy. If you don't, be sure and raise your hand. I think it printed enough. Sarah was kind enough to pass them out for me, since Carter was gone today. He's at Granddad's house, and he's in the golf tournament, so let's hope he does well. Well, let's open up with prayer, and we'll get started. Father God, Lord, we pause now to study your word, and we thank you for the completeness of it, the exactness of it, and the blessing of it, more or less the salvation of our every very soul. So to that end, we pray that this lesson is glorifying to your Son, and we thank you for everything that you've accomplished and are continuing to accomplish, and we pray that we want to be a part of that and do your purpose, Lord. So we thank you for in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, the lesson of the day is called The Cross of Christ. Now, on the back of your bulletin, there's a little article that caught my eye several weeks ago. It was in regard to Mount Soledad's cross, whereas a certain atheist had sued the city of San Diego to have that cross removed from that monument. And I noticed the monument was in San Diego. So I was really fired up to keep track of this monument and the crises brought to table by this one atheist, because the judges out in California agreed with him and said by August 1st, the cross, which is like 40-something feet tall, would have to be removed, or they have to pay $5,000 a day in penalties. Now, that really caught my eye, because the cross of Christ is certainly important to Christians. Now, why is that? You know, it's just a cross, you know. It's a symbol. But I'm telling you, it's more than the symbol that is special to us. You know, in the United States, coming to your handout now, in the United States, the cross has played a long history and tradition of memorializing members of the armed forces who die in battle with the cross. This may be because the Christian roots of our country recognize the significance of the cross in the identification of sacrifice. You see, Christ demonstrated the ultimate sacrifice when he decided to die on the cross as a sacrifice for all of our sins, even though he was sinless and did not deserve to die. You know, in Romans 5, 6 through 15 here, we have a significant passage telling us that when Christ was here, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, that's a lot of people. The ungodly, past, present, and future. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You know, a war memorial is a tribute to righteous men that have died for our country. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God committed his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, how did he die? He died on that cross. So the cross was an important part of his plan. You know, the cross at that time was the way they killed certain, not traitors, but thieves or criminals. Thank you. They killed criminals by that way at that time, and it was considered a really a curse, a disgrace. And he was chosen to die on that cross for something he didn't do. But in a sense, the fact that the death of Christ was planned before the foundation of the world. If you think back with me, when the first sin occurred in Adam, when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God told him that he would die. And from that point on, he promised the seed of the woman to bring a Savior to mankind. Well, she didn't know it'd be like 2,000 years later. But ever since that declaration, Satan has been actively attacking the seed of the woman. And not only the seed of the woman, he's constantly attacking Christ. Think back to when he first became Satan. He was Lucifer, a perfect angel, a sinless angel. He was the Most High. And he said in his heart, you know, I will be like God. He committed a sin and became a Satan. So he fell. And ever since then, he has portrayed the enemy of Christ. Now, isn't it a good thing that Godhead had a secret meeting before the foundation of the world? And guess what? Satan wasn't a part of that meeting. The Godhead, I had a lesson a few weeks ago regarding the declassification of biblical truth. And we showed that the Godhead had a meeting, and they took notes, they had minutes. But more or less, the blood of Christ was going to be the solution for all the sin, past, present, and future. So, at that time, they foresaw that Christ would have to die on the cross, and his death, burial, and resurrection would be the key to our salvation and our position in Christ. So, this passage here in Romans certainly says in verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." The cross wasn't the end of the story. It was just a key component, because of the death, burial, and resurrection was the key to have this statement made true. Verse 11, "And always so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin." That was a blessing of Adam. "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For under the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Now the key there is the gift. But, you know, in order to receive a gift, you have to take it. If somebody gives you a gift, it's not yours until you what? Take it. And that's a call to mankind nowadays to recognize that you need Christ as a Savior. You know, we sang a song this morning. It was called "At the Cross." If you recall, we sang that. We sang that a couple of weeks ago, and this lesson today being on the cross of Christ, I wanted to sing it again. But certain passages in there are really fabulous if you think about it. "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and loved beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for the man, the creature's sin? But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, when I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day." What a great song. At the cross, that was the key. Well, today there are many enemies to the cross of Christ. The battle by Satan to destroy this country's Christian heritage is active on all fronts. We are warned in Philippians of our scripture reading today of enemies of the cross of Christ. Read with me, Philippians 3, 17 through 21. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye walk, have us for an example. Paul is asking, watch us, we're an example. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, so he was a good one to make this request. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I often think, you know, verse 18 applies to that atheist. He sued to have the cross removed. What else does he do in his life? Is his God is his belly? Is his glory in his shame? He might even be a nice old chap, but he's really convicted to atheism, so he needs everything about Christianity removed so he can't see anything that reminds him that he needs a Savior. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned under like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. It's a matter of time for that atheist. It's a matter of time for every person on this planet. And everybody is going to face the consequences. And when death comes, where do you stand? Have you received the gift of Christ and, in a sense, would be sitting in the heavenlies with him and glorifying with him or not? Well, there's a certain article that was put out by August 2nd by the website that I get the news from. It's called newschristiansunite.com. And I want to go over this article because it's really fresh off the press here, and it talks about the victory to save the cross. So let's read along with me. Bottom of page 1. Mount Soledad's cross's victory in Congress won't end court battles, supporters say. Conservative political leaders and pro-family advocates are applauding the U.S. Senate's swift unanimous passage last night of the bill to preserve the Mount Soledad Veterans Memorial. Strongly opposed by the American Civil Liberties Union, the legislation provides for the federal government's immediate acquisition of the embattled San Diego Veterans Memorial, which features a 29-foot-tall cross. Now, the fact that we went out to San Diego, these pictures are from me. We went to go to this cross, and we went to Mount Soledad, and we took pictures while we were there, so I put them in here to review as well. The concrete cross, which stands 43 feet tall, if one includes the height of its base, the centerpiece of the commemorative monument that includes more than 1,700 granite plaques honoring fallen U.S. military veterans from the Civil War to the Korean War and to the current war in Iraq. But the cross is also at the center of a 17-year legal battle between an atheist supported by the ACLU in San Diego, supported by numerous veterans and people of faith, over the so-called separation of church and state. The bill to transfer the cross to federal land was first introduced in the House of Representatives by the Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter of California. The House overwhelmingly passed it in a 49-74 vote on July 19th and sent it to the Senate on July 20th, where it was introduced by Republican Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. Senate's unanimous approval means the legislation to the desk of President Bush, who expected to sign it. During his announcement of the bill's patches, Senator Sessions said he was glad to see the Senate join in the House in approving a bill that will put an end to the litigation under the California Constitution by transferring the memorial to the federal government. However, he lamented that the fact that this was an embattled monument has sadly come under attack by the ACLU because it contains a cross commemorating fallen soldiers. You see that plaque there in the picture. The plaque says Mount Soledad Veterans Memorial Cross. It's dedicated in 1954 as a tribute to all branches of the Armed Forces of USA servicemen and women. This plaque dedicated November 11, 1989, Mount Soledad Memorial Association, City Beautiful, San Diego. Well, Sessions went on to point out that America has a long history and tradition of memorializing members of the armed forces who die in battle with a cross or religious emblem of faith. Can you think about one graveyard in this country that commemorates the soldiers that have died by crosses? Arlington National Cemetery. There are miles and miles of crosses honoring the soldiers that have died. And this one cross out in California has gotten up in the skin of this one atheist being supported by the ACLU. Well, Alabama lawmaker said he is glad Congress stepped up to help ensure that Mount Soledad Memorial remains as a tribute to those who sacrificed their lives in defense of their country. Congressman Duncan Hunter, who joined the two GOP colleagues from San Diego County in writing the House version of the cross transfer bill, called a bicameral passage a significant step forward, Copley News Service reports. Hunter said the August 2nd vote reaffirms the overwhelming desire of San Diego citizens to keep the memorial exactly where it has proudly stood for over 50 years. Now here's a picture of a lady that's looking at some of the plaques there on the, around the cross. So, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger also expressed support for the cost transfer bill legislation. After the bill's passage, he remarked that allowing the Mount Soledad Memorial to be destroyed would be wrong and send the wrong message to our nation's veterans. The cross in court, a long battle that isn't over. The federal judge ruled last May that since the controversial Mount Soledad cross is on city land, the memorial violates California constitutional ban on government endorsement of one religion. The city of San Diego has been ordered to remove the religious symbol to be fined $5,000 a day. However, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy has issued an indefinite stay to put off any fines against the city until the matter has gone through the entire judicial process. Supporters of the cross believe that legislation allowing for transfer of the memorial to the federal government will help their case and will protect the cross from further court challenges, as religious displays can legally occupy federal land if they have a secular meaning. Once the Mount Soledad Veterans Memorial is officially on federal land, their hope is that it will no longer be susceptible to continued litigation under California's Constitution. Richard Thompson is president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Law Center and one of a number of organizations that have joined in the fight to save the cross. He is calling the passage of the bill to preserve the Mount Soledad Cross a great victory for our veterans and our fallen war heroes, and he says he applauds Senator Sessions for keeping the pressure on to move it through Senate. However, Thompson says it would be a serious mistake to think the fight is over. He observes the plaintiff and the ACLU have already shown persistence and zeal in their efforts against the cross, and this political defeat will most likely intensify their legal efforts, not unlike a red flag wave in front of a bowl. Now, you know, imagine that. One atheist and the ACLU are going off this cross. Not only this cross, many crosses across the country have been attacked, and in a sense, they have won those cases where they have to remove crosses from funeral cemeteries, city seals. They did so in Edmond here. Now, what is it? The attack on the cross, is it the cross itself? No, the cross represents Christ Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. And so the attack is on Christ himself. The attack is on. Thomas More Law Center's West Coast Director, San Diego Attorney Charles Lemendry, was spearheaded the legal defense of the cross. He was quoted as saying he and other supporters are obviously delighted with the passage of the bill. However, he agrees with Thompson that Legislative win will not mean the end of judicial struggle over the monument. Coalition of cross supporters continues fight. Legal attacks on the Mount Soledad cross will continue both in federal and California courts, the Mandarin inserts. Still, he adds, clearly Senate passage of this legislation will assist us in these court battles. Fortunately, he notes, many other supporters, including veterans group, legal and pro-family organization, and individuals have been engaged in the fight to preserve Mount Soledad Cross. The Thomas More Law Center is involved in both the California Appellate Court and the Federal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of San Diegans for the Mount Soledad National War Memorial, a group that played a major role in the successful petition drive to transfer the memorial site to land the federal government. However, the center notes retired U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Jeremiah Denton, a member of the Law Center's Citizens Advisory Board, a former Vietnam POW and a former U.S. Senator, also proved instrumental in the effort by obtaining political support of the memorial in Washington. Along with the Thomas More Law Center, a number of other pro-family groups and legal organizations are involved in the fight to save the cross as well. Among these are California Department of the American Legion, represented by the Alliance of Defense Fund, the American Family Association for Law and Policy, and the American Center for Law and Justice, which filed an amicus brief in the case on behalf of several members of Congress. So there's a fight going on. You might say good versus evil. Oh, that's really a gross generalization of the fight. No, it isn't. Christ is a key, and the cross played a part in his plan. So in we have some verses here that tell us about the blessing of Christ and his plan to use the cross. In Ephesians 2:13-19 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off by made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He who hath made one hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and having abolished in his flesh and the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. By the cross. You know, by the cross, where I first saw my life. Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Continuing on, Colossians 1:9-20. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be fulfilled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things exist. For he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, whether they be things on earth or whether they be things in heaven. You know, the cross here is playing a really critical role. Colossians 2:8-15, beware lest any man spoil you through all the in vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been quickened together with him, for hath forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, you know, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him and endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. You know, as Christians, we should defend the cross of Christ, but remember, it was through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ performed the miracle of God. And it's by our acceptance of Christ that we get to be saved and sit with him in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers. And that's the victory of the cross of Christ. So let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the scriptures that talk about what the deed that you performed on the cross by going through the death, burial, and resurrection. And we recognize the importance of the cross played in your plan, but more importantly, the cross represents Christ, and we should defend him and who he is and what he means in our lives. So we thank you of a situation like this that shows what's going on in America now, the attack on your cross. But more or less, it's an attack on you as Savior and Lord. So please help us recognize this fact and be ready at any time to defend your reputation and who you are, and be a good testimony for you. And we thank you for that blessing that you provide us and everything to let us be a part of your plans, Lord. So in this name I pray and for his sake, amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.